So hello everyone, welcome to our Vital Health Topics for January. My name's Angelica. I'm on Dr. Rita Murray's team, and I am going to be the host for today's call. So since it's the new year, I think this is a really perfect time for us to be discussing today's topic and bringing this esteemed professional on our stage today, because she's really, really well-versed in blood sugar regulation, and she has a very moving and personal story about how sugar and blood sugar management has impacted her life. So I'm really excited that we're having this topic at this time when we're all in our New Year's resolutions and we're all trying to be good and really start the year off on the right foot. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about our presenter today. So Annette Salsonet has been interested in nutrition alternative healing modalities since 1989. Her biggest challenge came in 2015 when her daughter was rushed to the hospital with diabetic ketoacidosis. So this is dangerously high blood sugar, and she could share more about how that looks in the body when it's an emergency. So needless to say, this was a huge, huge milestone in Annette's career in nutrition, and it changed her focus and mission in life, because the mainstream advice given to diabetics is awful. Diabetics are told to eat whatever they want and just to take extra insulin. It's like an eat and cover approach, and this isn't a good way to live, because we all know that chronic high blood sugar and high insulin is very damaging to the body. So Annette is working on a program to support parents and caregivers like herself, who are caring for children with type 1 diabetes. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and mute myself, and I'm going to hand the reins over to Annette, and let us know in the chat if you have any questions. We'll address them at the end, or if you have any issues with your audio or your slides, just let us know. All right, Annette, take it away.
Thank you so much for that great intro, Angelica. I loved esteemed professional. I wrote that down. I'll probably use that somewhere again. I hope everybody can hear me all right. If not, please let Angelica know so she can stop me. Sorry about the letter that went out for those of you that might be expecting Lynn Rose. Oops, a glitch. It happens. You know, New Year, things get, you know, we take time off, we rest, we relax. I also need to apologize for my slides. They didn't transfer so well, and I found out today that black is not the best color to use at times, so I learned a valuable lesson there, but it is my understanding you'll be given the slides. The ones that are really bad and difficult to read, I will be able to let you know what's on those, and we'll still get through this, and it's going to be a good time. And Angelica touched on the diabetic ketoacidosis. While it's high blood sugar, she's correct, it's also your ketones are off, and it's also very acidic blood. The carbon dioxide number would be very low if you're, and I know in this group you guys know you're looking at blood chemistry. So let's as Angelica said, without further ado, let's go on. So sugar, it's really not so sweet. It might taste sweet, but it's really not that good for us. So here's my disclaimer. You know, we have to put these in. This presentation is not intended to replace your relationship with your healthcare providers. I'm not a doctor. I'm kind of glad I'm not, because then I can do more. And this is just a sharing of my knowledge, my life experience, especially on this topic. And, you know, you've got to do your own research and talk to your healthcare professionals when making your decisions. Okay, this is just a little bit about me. Probably the biggest ones, that, of course, the certification, the qualification that means the most to me is I'm the mom of a type 1 diabetic, and I live this stuff. You know, we live it every day in my house, in my world. I did graduate Dr. Rita Murray's program this past October. So I am now a functional nutritional therapy. Oh, that's not her. Sorry. Nutritional endocrinology practitioner. And that's quite the accomplishment. So I'm glad to be here. So sugar, what is it? This is natural sugar, sugar in the raw, so to speak. It's sugar cane. Don't want to know what they're spraying it for up there. And, you know, sometimes, I don't know about the grocery stores where you are. I imagine where Angelica is out in California, she sees them. There are times here in Texas we can go into the grocery store and we see they're selling the sugar like this, the pieces of sugar cane. I knew people and they would go and buy the cane and chew it and clean their teeth with it. But that was the only sugar that they got because it was a more natural, balanced sugar. And because it has the minerals and the fiber in it, it's not as likely to spike your blood sugar as just the white stuff. It's really the white stuff we don't want. We all need some sugar. It's natural. Natural sugar is fuel for our bodies. Like I said, what we want to avoid are those processed sugars. The big 5-pound bag you go and buy down the baking aisle, that's what we don't want. This slide doesn't come out so well, but I still know what it says because I'm following along in my other slides. Sugar, it's a carbohydrate, right? It's not a food, so to speak. And I'm talking, like I said, the processed stuff. It tastes sweet, so then we want more. It becomes addictive, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on. And if you're reading, you're in the store, you're reading labels, and you know, and I imagine you guys used to read them because now you're buying, you know, your produce, and most produce doesn't have a label on it telling you what's in it. If it's celery, it's celery. But if you're reading labels, you're helping someone else transition to a healthier diet. If it ends in OSE, it's a sugar. And you can Google different names for sugar. This is just one chart I came up with because it was nice and it was easy to make into a slide. But these are just some of the different names that they hide sugar under. And like I said, there's lists of up to 76 and 80 some, and they use different, they all have some different words on them. But it's good to be familiar with some of these if you're, you know, having to read labels or teach someone else how to read labels. Okay. Sugar. This slide says that sugar is not a micronutrient. It's not white sugar. You don't have to have it. It's not part of your diet. It's not a food group. It's quickly digested, which is why when you eat that candy bar, you're going to get that immediate spike, and then it's going to crash you back down. There's really not a lot of protein or good fats to slow down that sugar because it's been stripped of all of its nutrients. Sugar, white sugar, is empty calories. There's no nutrients in it when it's in the form like on this spoon. The raspberry would be better to eat, but skip all that sugar. And the sugar, when we take that sugar in, our body pulls minerals from other parts of the body to help us process and digest that sugar. So it just wreaks havoc all over the place. This slide is saying that sugar, excess sugar, stresses the liver, and it can cause the liver to create extra fat. And some of that extra fat will be stored in the liver. It also, sugar can increase your bad cholesterol and triglycerides. And, you know, we're trying to get that nice, happy medium of our fats, keep them in balance. And every time you sit down and eat, you know, a sugary food, you're throwing that out of whack. It can contribute to leptin resistance, which is going to cause other issues like sleep problems and weight gain. Like I said, it can cause addiction in the brain. Sugar does not fill you up. It's empty calories. So it just encourages you to eat more. I remember back in the day when I would have the afternoon crash and I'd go get the candy bar and I'd feel good for a while, but then as I came crashing back down, oh, well, I was hungry again, so I have to go get something else. These are just some sources of added dietary sugars that are in most American diets. You've got your sodas, your cereals, those cookies. And in addition to all this sugar, there's going to be gluten, and there's all the chemicals that they're using to fortify these foods and to give them this rainbow of colors. So it's good to get all this stuff out. But then they hide sugar, just like they hide gluten, they hide sugar. sugar. I don't need it in my ketchup. I don't want it in my ketchup. But a lot of commercial made ketchups are going to have sugar. So if you are into, if you use ketchup, flip that bottle over and look at it. Make your own. It's hidden in soups. You know, why? If I'm sitting down to have a nice bowl of vegetable soup, I'm going to get the sweetness from the vegetables. I don't need the added. But one of the tomato sauce, I like acidic. I don't need that sugar. But a pet peeve for me are those gummy vitamins. When we ingest sugar for a while, it suppresses our immune system. Well, we're taking vitamins to build our immune system up, to support our bodies. So I'm going to take what I essentially consider to be a candy. While it's suppressing the sugar and it's suppressing my immune system, supposedly these nutrients are lifting my immune system. I don't recommend, I totally avoid, even for kids, I wouldn't go gummies, because then I think it just reinforces for them that sugar is can be a health food. And that's just not a message we need to send. Processed sugar is an anti-nutrient. It's not good for your health. You guys are in Dr. Reed Marie's programs. You know this. You've heard it. Sugar just does a lot of harm. You want to get your sugar from your fruits and vegetables, right? That's going to come with when you're eating food in its whole form. It comes balanced with the minerals and fibers and vitamins and even the enzymes that your body needs to take that sugar, to break it down, to digest it and absorb it and process it. And those other ingredients, the other minerals and vitamins, are going to keep you from getting that spike. But you need to learn the balance, and we'll talk about that some too. So fruits and vegetables are really the source of sugar that you want to use. And I'm not saying go out and eat 5 bananas. But you can make bananas part of your day and still keep your blood sugar healthy. Natural sweeteners, in my house, we're going to use maple syrup or honey just because those are the options that work well for us. The Lohan, which I know Dr. Rita Marie and a lot of you all use, and those sweeteners, the xylitols, those mess with me. I can't eat them. They give me a headache. Make me feel kind of weird and spacey. So I'm either going to have nothing or I'm going to like have a little couple drops of the honey or the maple syrup. I've actually gone without processed sugar for so long. My taste, my craving for it has gone down. Other food sources of your natural sugars are going to be your green leafy vegetables, your rainbow vegetables, you know, your chards, your beets, your carrots. Root veggies, we talked about fruits, legumes, and even your grains, because they're carbohydrates, so they're going to break down into some sugars for you. So this is where we want to go. Eat those good fruits and veggies. Some of the downside to all the sugar, sugar can deplete vitamin D. Most of us are already deplete in D. So why do we want to keep eating something that's going to continue to deplete us? We need vitamin D for so many other functions, in our body. I'm going to drink. I'm sorry these slides didn't transfer well. Something for me to work on and learn. Sugar can deplete calcium. And we all know we need calcium to help build strong bones and teeth. And as we're aging, that's really important because, you know, people fall sometimes and you hear about people breaking bones and never really being better after that. And you know what? I'm happy to give up some sugar if it means I'm going to have a stronger structure, foundation for my body. Sugar can also deplete magnesium. These, the bananas, the avocados, the almonds, they're good sources of natural magnesium. So if I'm eating the sugar, I'm losing out on my magnesium. And magnesium, it helps with sleep. That's one thing that's good for magnesium. It helps with regularity. So we don't want to be depleting our magnesium. And in some of the research I've been doing, they talk about magnesium. It goes two ways. You can eat the chocolate. And chocolate, in some studies, decreases magnesium, but then you'll also have people tell you chocolate is a good source of magnesium. And I assume it's like with all the other foods, it depends on the source. But again, if I'm eating a candy bar to get my magnesium, I've got all that sugar that's doing more harm than good. So hopefully they were talking about real chocolate. Sugar can also deplete chromium, right? What's chromium used for in our body? One of chromium's functions is to regulate, help us regulate our blood sugar, to keep our blood glucose in a healthy range. And, you know, if you've been through sweet spot, that's one of the supplements Dr. Rita Marie suggests, is take some chromium to help you control the blood sugar. So again, I can eat the sugar and have to supplement the chromium. I can give up the sugar and maybe be able to use less chromium and wean off of it over time. So give up the sugar. The processed sugar. Every time I say sugar and I'm talking poorly about it, I'm talking about the processed stuff. Sugar can increase your risk of depression, type 2 diabetes. It can cause heart problems. I'm trying to catch up in my slides over here. Weight gain is another. The sugar can increase weight gain. And, you know, most Americans are overweight these days anyway. And again, it goes back to food, and they're just not getting nutrition in their food. This was a study that was done by Dr. Alardi, and I'll actually read it to you from my other slide because I can see it. One common characteristic of winter onset depression is craving sugar. So you've got up to 30% of the population suffering from at least some symptoms of winter onset depression, causing them to crave the carbs. And now you're at the holiday, and you know most people's houses you go to have all the sweets out there. So you're just inundated with these sweets at a time you're not feeling good, and you're craving them. So that's not a good thing. Studies have shown that sugar, like I said, it's addictive. It's just as addictive as nicotine, cocaine, morphine. There was a book written called Sugar Blues, I believe. And back as recently as the 50s, the FDA actually classified white sugar as a drug. So, you know, we've known for a while that sugar is not good for our brain even. And as with any addiction, you need more to get the buzz, to get the high. So you're always eating more and more sugar. Okay, I'll read this from the other one. Sugar activates the opiate receptors in our brain, and it affects the reward center, which leads to this compulsive behavior despite the negative consequences like weight gain, headache, hormone imbalances, and more. So it's just like an addict. They don't care that physically their body's falling apart. They just need that next fix. And that can happen with sugar. So, you know, let's get off the sugar. Studies suggest that every time we eat sweets, we are reinforcing these neural pathways, causing the brain to become increasingly hardwired to crave more sugar. So you're building up a tolerance. You know, what one cube used to fix, now it might take 5 or 6 cubes of sugar. Never before in the history of mankind have we had an emergency need to lower blood glucose levels. And it's just because think about our food system. You know, while the processed foods came about to make life easier and so you could have more workers in the cities with the factories, it really impacted our health poorly. You know, think back to your ancestors, generations and generations ago, when we were hunters and gatherers. We weren't eating tarts like this. If they wanted a sweet, they went and they ate some berries. And our body is set up to handle the sugar that way, not this way. Reducing sugar can reduce your health risk. So getting off the sugar, you're going to be healthier in the long run. Okay, so we got through the holidays and you ate too many of these cookies. They don't even look really pretty to me anymore. So now what are you going to do? For some, coming off sugar is going to be like detoxing any other drug. They could have headaches. It could feel like a hangover. You're nauseous. You're depressed. And you're going to keep craving and craving more and more sugar, even though that's what's making you sick and you're trying to come off of it. You're going to use supplements as a bridge. You know, we talked about you might have to up chromium for a while, or maybe some B vitamins to help you bridge that gap to getting better. Drink more water, right? If I had eaten a bunch of cookies, which don't, I'm going to drink a bunch of water, help flush some of that out. You can take a detox bath. You know, maybe something like apple cider vinegar and sea salt. It could be an Epsom salt bath. Maybe you have a blend you make yourself that will help pull toxins out. Saunas are a good way to sweat out that sugar. It might be exercising. If it was summer here, I could just go for a walk outside and sweat a lot of that out. You need to move. Get up and move. Don't just sit there. You got to work that sugar out of your system. Eat better foods. Make better choices. Sleep more. That's going to help you get through this detox withdrawal period of getting off the sugar. And, you know, it's so much better just not to get hooked on the sugar. So you don't have to go through this. You don't have to do all the extra naps. I found this really interesting, that eating bitter foods can shut down those receptors in the brain that make us crave the sugar. Bitter foods also slow the absorption, which means you're not going to get those spikes and those crashes that do what? Make you crave more sugar. Sorry, I was taking some water. More tips to help you curb those sugar cravings. And I really hope you don't have them. But every once in a while, I do. Every once in a while, I was like, oh, a piece of chocolate sounds good. We want to crowd out the sugar. So if I'm craving chocolate, I might have made fat bombs with cacao in it, and I can do that instead. That's healthier than eating that candy bar that's over there. Sometimes drinking water, because it'll fill you up, and then you're not as hungry, and maybe you just have a bite or two of the sweet as opposed to the whole piece of pie or whatever. Magnesium, chromium, again, zinc, those minerals can all come together to help you reduce that craving. Green drinks. You know, Dr. Rita Marie is always talking about green drinks and drinking your greens, and that's a good way. That's also going to help crowd out that sugar. You're going to get some natural sweet from the vegetables. But once you fill up on that smoothie, you're not going to have room for that sweet thing. So this sounds a little odd. I have found if I take water and just put a little bit of salt in it, a good salt, not that Morton stuff, but like a Himalayan salt, a nice sea salt, if sometimes I get the balance just right, and that salt will make that water sweet. And then I just don't need the sweet sugar, because I'm getting the sweet from something fresh and good. Healthy fats are also going to help you crowd out that sugar, not want it anymore. It's going to slow it down if you've had it. Fiber, probiotic foods can help us get over the sugar, cut those cravings down. Protein, you know, feeding your body. You know, anything you can do healthy to crowd out that sugar so that you don't want it is good. It's best to avoid the sugar. It really is, the processed stuff. I'm not saying don't eat your vegetables. I'm not saying don't have berries. I'm saying, you know, don't go get the processed stuff. So we've got to avoid it. But, you know, what's the best way to learn how foods impact you? That's going to be to test your glucose. And I know a lot of people don't like to do that. It's not that hard. You can do it. Change your food. Learn what foods impact you. Learn what foods impact you and what quantities. I can have a handful of blueberries and I'm fine. If I eat the whole pint, I spiked my blood sugar. So I had to learn and play and experiment. And I now know how to eat blueberries and enjoy them and in what quantities. You can still enjoy sweets. You just do it in moderation. I didn't believe this till I tried it, but I was told once if you take a carob, instead of a chocolate chip, a carob chip, and you put it under your tongue, like when you're craving chocolate, if you put it under your tongue, as that carob melts and the taste comes up to your taste buds, your body goes, ooh, chocolate. Once the carob comes on top of your tongue and you taste what it really is, it kind of shatters the illusion. But if I could keep that carob chip under my tongue while it melted, I no longer craved the chocolate. I didn't want it anymore because I was happy and satiated with one carob chip. So that's just something to play with. And I wasn't testing my blood then, so I don't know how it impacted me, but since it was just one, I'm going with not much. So if you're testing your blood, you need to know these numbers. Conventional says 65 to 115. I think 115 is a little high. Optimal says 80 to 100. And, you know, some of us that don't have diabetes can actually function in the 60s and 70s, but you have to know your numbers. You have to know how your body works. And you definitely don't want to go high. Here in the U.S. units, the alarm range is above 250. You know, my child was 635 at diagnosis, and we kind of think we have a 700 number thrown out there. That's dangerous. You know, I don't even want you going above like 120, 150 as you're spiking, as you're just starting to learn. I now know how much of certain foods I can eat and still stay within this, you know, stay around the 100s. And you'll learn that too. It's easy. Controlling your glucose is really, really important. Your body's going to function better. You're going to feel better. You reduce the sugar in your world, your body's going to be healthier, and it's going to help you prevent future disease states. Like I said, every time we ingest that white sugar, it suppresses our immune system for a bit. Getting off the sugar, controlling your blood, your blood glucose, that's going to reduce inflammation in your system. So this is about testing. Like I said, it isn't hard. It doesn't have to hurt. You don't need a prescription to get a glucometer. You can get the Keto Mojo, which Dr. Rita Marie recommends. You can go to Walmart and buy the Relyon glucometer. You can get strips there too. It's just over the counter. Here in Texas, we have a grocery store chain called HEB. They sell their own meter. So you don't need to go to your doctor just to test your blood sugar and know your numbers. And it is just an amazing source of information. You can learn how stress impacts your blood sugar, how being angry really messes with you. There's just so much information to be gathered just from testing your blood sugar. And I know some of you have heard me say this before, but, you know, blood sugar is my passion now. I live it every day. Testing is truly the best way to learn how food impacts you. And like I said, just life in general. You know, you're stuck in traffic and you're getting road rage. That's going to up your blood sugar. And you're stuck in your car. How are you going to deal with that? So, you know, learn these things and be prepared to deal with the different things life throws at us and still keep our blood sugar happy. I want to talk a little bit about the A1C because that's a number that's thrown about a lot when we talk about sugar intake and why we need to control it. Your A1C is the average test for the past 2 to 3 months. It measures the hemoglobin. So what happens, and that's the part that carries the oxygen about. So you've got this lovely, beautiful red blood cell, and then you get sugar jumping on. And the higher your A1C, that means you don't have good control of your blood sugar, and that's going to raise your risk for different diseases down the road. Your hemoglobin, I mean, your A1C should be around 5. 5 is a good number. And that's just saying your daily average is 97. So you had some lows below that, and you had some spikes above that. But overall, around 5 is good. For diabetics, they tell them higher. Diabetics, they tend to tell them like 6.5 to 7. My child's actually been a 4.8, and she was fine. But again, it's because we know what she can and can't do and how her body responds. Excuse me. So here you have these beautiful red blood cells, and they're coursing through everywhere in your body, and they're smooth. And because they're smooth, it's easy for them to pass through, you know, your vascular system and all of your organs, and they just glide. Sugar crystals, think about it. The last time you touched sugar, saw it, maybe you're in a restaurant and you open a packet and you're playing with it, whatever. Because you come to my house, I don't have this kind of sugar. They're rough. They're jagged. The crystals are sharp, right? They're not going to just, you know, they do those like the sugar scrubs to take the, to exfoliate the dead blood cells. So it's a rough texture. And what this sugar does, the way it gets throughout our body and our body system, is this sugar jumps on to our red blood cells. It hitches a ride, so to speak. So now what was supposed to have been the smooth, pretty red blood cell now has all these jagged, sharp things stuck on it, all this extra sugar because we eat too much. And the higher your blood glucose, the more sugar that piles on. So if you have an A1C of 10, you've got a lot of sugar globbed on to your red blood cells. These red blood cells are cruising through your system with this sugar, and it's like I said, they're jagged and they're rough, so they're causing damage and inflammation and irritation as we go through, and it's that inflammation that can set us up for disease states. So here's just an illustration I found, and I want the red blood cell on the left, because there's very little sugar on it, and that's probably close to what I have. But like my daughter at diagnosis, hers is probably more like the one there. I mean, I want the one on the right, sorry. The one on the left is yucky. Nobody wants that, and you don't need to have that. There's no reason to have that much sugar jumping on. And when you have all that extra sugar going through, like I said, it's causing inflammation. This can lead to vision issues. People can start to lose their sight, and I don't want that for you. It can cause kidney issues, neuropathy, the heart. It can increase your chances for stroke. But sugar's not worth it. You know, go eat some healthy sweet if you need a sweet. And like I said, over time, our taste buds change. You get away from the sugar, you just don't need it anymore. You don't like the taste after a while. You don't need it. There are more than 3 million cases of insulin resistance every year in the U.S. And that's caused by all the processed food and all the sugar that's in the mainstream diet, which, you know, thankfully you guys are here and you're not doing that anymore. And then 15 to 40% of those people that are pre-diabetic are going to develop type 2. Type 2, for the most part, yes, there is a genetic component, but type 2 really is a lifestyle and food choice disease. So that's, you can flip type 2 around really fast if the person's committed. Each year, there's over 73,000 non-traumatic lower limb amputations due mostly to type 2. Type 2s have more amputations than type 1s. So I want you guys to keep all your toes and your feet. So let's get off that sugar. We need to find our balance, our happy place. You can have small amounts of sweets. It's all about moderation. So you can have them and still have great blood glucose. I can have like a half a banana before my glucose goes up. But you know what? Right now, these days, a half a banana is fine. I'm happy with that because I've made adjustments in my house because I do live with a type 1 diabetic. We have treats, but like that chocolate bar that's there, you know, we would take like one of those squares, and for me, it'd have to be really, really dark chocolate. Take one of those squares and just let it melt. And I'm just as satiated from that as I've actually probably more because I've enjoyed it. I've savored it than if I ate half that candy bar. I couldn't eat half the candy bar. So there's chocolate in my house. You can come to my house, I can eat my chocolate bars. But we use them sparingly. They're also used medicinally in my house. if my daughter's starting to go down, and we know that from the monitor that she wears, if her blood sugar is dropping, she knows how much chocolate to go eat, how many grams of carbs to steady that out so she doesn't drop. But I don't want you guys going there. I don't want you to have to know how much chocolate you need to bring yourself up from a crash. It's better, you know, like this slide says, you can control the sugar or it's going to control you. And, you know, we're all adults here. We need to take charge and get that done. And you guys have taken some of the first steps. You know, you're here with Dr. Rita Marie and her coaches. Some of you have been here for a while and you've really made some great strides in improving your health and making sure you're going to be healthy down the road because you've looked at your big why. You have your big why. I want to be there for my grandchildren. So I can give up that cake and that pizza now so that I can play with them later. So like I said, sugar, it's up to you. You control it or it controls you. And it really is, it's your choice. I can't make that choice for you. I can make suggestions. You know, I see every day the damage that sugar does in people. So I know you're making the right choices because, like I said, you're here. You're with us. So these are my references. And I believe, like I said, you all are getting these slides. If you want to go and see where I got anything that I used in this presentation, it's all there. And I'm sure this spacing issue will be fixed there also. So thank you guys for being here. And if there's questions, Angelica, I am ready.
Thank you. That was awesome. I loved how you really like brought it back to at the end, you really closed the loop with the big why. And I think that's so important, you know, for us to get out of our habits and addictive brains and to really just connect with why we really need to give up the instant gratification for the long-term gains. I really appreciate that you did that. Mm-hmm. I also loved how you talk about, you shared so much about how you customized your own sugar intake, like what works for you and what works for your family. So I'll just check the question box here real quick. There's no questions yet, but if you guys have questions, feel free to type them in the chat, and I will definitely shout them out to Annette. Or if you'd like to speak, just you can also type that in the chat, and I can unmute you. The other option is if you're on the phone, I think you can press, let's see, You can press star 2 to raise your hand. So that's another way that you can let us know you'd like to come on and ask Annette personally the question. But if nobody has questions right now, I will just go ahead and get it started. I've got a few of my own.
Okay.
You mentioned maple syrup and honey and how that works for you and your family. That's your sweetener of choice. So I was wondering, does that give you less blood sugar spikes than the white sugar, or is it really about the amount? Like, have you ever tested them both in the same amount? I'm curious to hear your experience.
You know, okay, so now I might have to go buy some white sugar.
No,
I would just like go someplace and get a packet. I'll go get a packet from some fast food place. I can't really answer that. We switched the honey and maple syrup long before diabetes, you know, just from all the studying that I had been doing prior to that, we had already switched over. But when I'm not kidding, when I say, okay, so back when we still ate pancakes, you know, we would make the pancakes and then you'd pour the real maple syrup, not that chemically stuff, and we would put like maybe half a teaspoon on the plate and then dip the pancake in it. We actually eat more sugar now that she's been diagnosed than we did before because we have to keep it around for lows because it can be life-saving. It is for diabetics. But when I experiment with the honey and the syrup, I'll let you know. And I didn't test my blood back then, but now you've got me curious.
To say they're using a half a teaspoon of syrup on their pancakes, so that's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, and even then, you know, when we would wash the plates, there was still syrup on the plate. So we just didn't have a big sugar habit, but I'm going to test the honey and the maple syrup because that's intriguing now. But yeah, the Lohan, oh man, I get a headache, and we just can't do those sweeteners, but it's fine. You know, we've, like you said, we've adjusted for us, and that's what everybody has to do. Try them. You're not going to know until you try them, you know?
Yeah, that's so interesting. Yeah, those sweeteners, we recommend a lot of alternative sweeteners in our programs and in our recipe guides with Dr. Rita Marie. But you're right, everyone always has to tune into their own body and see if it's working for them. You know, if your body's telling you no on that monk fruit, then you skip the monk fruit. And that's
right.
A piece that people miss when they get really enthusiastic about healthy swaps. So thank you for mentioning that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Another thing I'm really curious about is people talk a lot about lowering the sugar impact of your carbs, you know, the high glycemic carb like a white potato versus a sweet potato or beets. I'm curious, what's been your journey using high glycemic or lower glycemic carbs? And has that really changed how you eat and how your daughter manages her blood sugar?
Oh, yes. We are low carb. I couldn't even tell you the last time I had a white potato. We did a real strict elimination diet about a year and a half. It was roughly a year after her diagnosis, and we pretty much gave up white potatoes then. But since she was wearing a glucose monitor, and then I started testing myself, I spike even on sweet potatoes. So I've learned, you know, again, trial and error, I learned the portion that I can have of sweet potatoes, and I'll be fine. Whereas if, you know, in the past, I might have had a whole sweet potato with some butter on it and some cinnamon and been happy. Can't do that anymore. I mean, I'd have to be walking miles and miles and miles to offset that. So, yes, we eat low carb, and that has made a big difference in my daughter's glucose numbers and in mine also. And in fact, I've realized that I eat even lower carb when she's not around, and I actually have better blood sugars when I don't eat with her, because she has different needs than I do. She has different thresholds than I do, but I can still eat her cooking and maintain my numbers. But no, go as low carb as you're comfortable doing. And you know, for us, it was overnight. It was like, now today you have a potato and going forward you don't. And you don't have to be that radical about it. You know, you can step down and ease down and, you know, kind of crowd them out. But for us, we were in a pretty dire situation. So we just gave them up. It was easier. I don't listen
to that. Thank you. We're getting some comments in the chat section about people who are also kind of getting off, kicking just the sugar habit. I know Heather said her husband's getting off of sugar right now, detoxing, and that this is very helpful. She also mentions that honey and maple syrup spikes her blood sugar even when she surrounds it with all the right things. You mentioned fiber and vitamins and minerals and how that slows sugar absorption into our bloodstream, which can keep our blood sugar more steady. But for some, and that sometimes it's not enough actually to sort of blanket the sugar with a lot of fiber and greens we would expect to regulate our blood sugar.
Right, correct. Yeah. And if the honey and maple aren't working, but if the monk fruit works for you, or, you know, the stevia, you know, I wish we could do some of that, but we can do some stevia. There's some that we can do. And we can do some xylitols, but for the most part, you know, through trial and error, you've got to do what works for you in your house. You know, that's the best advice I can give you. Test, know how it impacts you. Sometimes you can balance it with other food and extra water to offset it. Sometimes getting up and going for a walk. And, you know, if you really need to have, if you just know that the maple syrup is what works, and I cut it down to as little as possible, but it's still, I know it's going to spike me, get up and go for a little walk. Do a burst, you know, do a burst exercise to bring that back down. There's other ways to offset it too.
Awesome. Some of our listeners are saying that these alternative sweeteners work just fine for them. So that's great. I know that it works fine for me too. I don't notice any adverse effects of stevia or monk fruit, but like you said, we are all different and we all have to tune in and see what's showing up in our bodies when we consume these things.
And it could be brand X of monk fruit I would be fine with, but I've been having brand B, you know? It could be something as simple as that. Same thing with Heather and the maple syrup.
You're so in tune and you're measuring regularly. And so that's just my final question is, you know, how do you recommend people really get started? What would be the most important way to start checking your blood sugar? I know we do a lot of this education in our Sweet Spot program, and we recommend extensive testing, usually several times throughout the day. And that can be a big hurdle for a lot of people to go from never testing to taking all of these biometrics every single day. What do you suggest would be a good way to get started testing?
You know, when I work with, you know, the best thing would be to get a Libre, but you know, because then you don't have, you just, it's one poke for the 14 days, and okay, maybe once in a while you have to do a double check on a meter. But, you know, that's not available to all of us, sadly. You know, I wish we could just walk into the store and pick one up, and hopefully one day we'll get there. But in the meantime, like I said, I will tell people, do it when it's convenient for you. If it means you put the test kit, the glucometer, if you keep it on your bedstand and you do it, if you just start with doing it in the morning or at bedtime, or maybe you keep it in the kitchen and you do it at dinner. Start at a place where it's easy to make it a habit. Like I said, I worked with one woman and she ended up she was like, it's too hard to carry it up and down the stairs because I take it to one floor and I forget it. I'm like, get a second one. So she had an upstairs glucometer and she had a downstairs glucometer. Set it up. It's like any habit. You have to keep doing it until it just becomes normal. So just pick a time and a place that's convenient for you. It might be, you know, after dinner, if you could do like before dinner and after dinner, you know, an hour or so after dinner, just kind of learn what your spikes are. And some people get so sensitive, they can tell you when they're going hot, when they're high and when they're low. One of the things that happened to us when my daughter was in the hospital is friends of mine brought us dinner, and they brought us food from P.F. Chang's, and we were eating off the gluten-free menu, so it was supposed to be okay. And my daughter spiked from about 180 to over 400 after dinner, and this is when they were still weaning her down, so 180 at that point in time was a good number. And then, like I said, she ate the P.F. Chang's and spiked over 400. And I realized I was feeling strange. And those pieces finally fell into place to me. I now can tell you when my blood sugar is high just from the way my head feels. You'll get tuned in. But, yeah, just pick, get a meter, stick it in a place where it's convenient, where you're going to see it, and just test once or twice a day to start with. Start tracking it eventually, so you can kind of see the trends. For me and for at least one other person I coach, we kind of get addicted to the data. It's like I said, it's amazing what you can learn just from testing your blood sugar. And you don't have to, if you don't like the lancets because they hurt, you can get those Gentiles, and it's more of a vacuum, so it doesn't. I'm not going to lie to you and say there's absolutely no discomfort. There's still a little prick, but it's a lot nicer than a lancing device.
Thank you for mentioning that. The lancing is uncomfortable physically for other people. I was just thinking of the habit of checking your sugar, but you're right. The thought of poking your finger is stressful for a lot of people, not to mention checking it several times a day. So I'm really glad that you named that. And I can attest to what you said about getting used to checking, and then you use the tool, to the blood sugar meter, that is, to learn what your body's doing, and then eventually you get more in tune and you don't need the numbers as much. I know that was true for myself, and I can feel when I get high blood sugar, it's very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And just that feeling alone motivates me to make different choices.
Right. And, you know, in our house, no paper cut goes to waste. You get a paper cut, you can test your blood sugar.
I love that. No cut wasted.
If you're bleeding, test that blood sugar.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah, our little fingers do get tired after getting pricked so many times. So I love that you shared that.
And
all right, I'll check one more time for any more questions or comments, but I think that's about it. Heather says, totally agree with Annette on the Libre for regular checking. Yeah, that Freestyle Libre is a coveted item in our community because we know it's a continuous meter, but still challenging for a lot of people to get it. You have to have a prescription. I don't know if you have any tips about that, Annette.
You know, I would, whatever medical professional you're working with, I would just say, hey. And according to Dr. Rita Marie, it's actually quite easy for doctors to set up accounts with Freestyle to get them. My ex-husband's had a lot of health issues over the years, and he's been diagnosed as pre-diabetic. And he fell, and now he's got some brain injury stuff going on. So he's not as clear thinking as he used to be. So I went to the doctor with him this summer. And I just flat out said to the doctor, I'm like, look, I'll need a prescription for Freestyle for him because he's pre-diabetic. He's got two children that are type 1. I need to turn him around before this gets bad because he's got all these other health issues going on. And the doctor said, I'll write that prescription for you. And I think a lot of it was because I had my facts and I walked in there with an air of authority. And he didn't even blink when he wrote me the script. But if you do get your doctor to write it, it has to say sensors and reader. Otherwise, the store is only going to sell you what the doctor wrote. And if he just says sensors, you're just getting sensors. So make sure they write it for sensors and reader. And if you're traveling to Europe, Mexico or Canada, you can go buy the Libres over the counter, but they're not interchangeable. So if you go to Canada and you get a Canadian reader, you can't go buy sensors in Mexico. They won't work.
Got it. Okay, so if we go on trips, we might want to stock up on our continuous glucose meters.
when you go overseas, if you fly through England, you might want to look.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. That can save a whole lot of trouble for folks. I know for myself, with my health insurance, if I go to the doctor and if I don't look like I have outright disease, I'm not going to get very far with lab testing or with any kind of treatments that I think are necessary. So I can really relate to that just going around sometimes the standard medical system is helpful, and it might be behoove you to check in other countries and take advantage of those different restrictions and laws.
I've seen pictures of just stacks of them in Costco's in Mexico. Just those, you know, those flats are just covered with the Libres. Another little thing that can be helpful in getting your doctor to write the prescription and then to get your insurance to cover it, and I learned this from one of the distributors at a diabetes conference we went to this summer, is you need to be able to document over like a 10-day period that you did have high blood sugar. And it needs to be, you know, you need to be able to show that at least a couple times a day I was always, you know, 150 and above or whatever. And if you document that and go to the doctor, they're more likely to believe that you're moving down the diabetes trail where you don't want to go. And then insurance is more likely to cover it that way too.
I love that. That's such a great tip. Yeah, because in order to build your case, you're going to have to bring them some of the data And right. even then, maybe you won't get validation from your practitioner, but that's certainly worth a try. So that's a great
yeah.
tip. Okay. Well, I think we don't have any questions, and it looks like you have a question in the chat. Liz asked about the name of the meter. It's the Freestyle Libre. So I'm going to write that in the chat. And as we mentioned, Liz, it's a continuous meter that you wear. You wear it, you cycle it every 12 days. Is that right, Annette?
It was 10, now it's 14.
Okay, every 14 days, and then you have to put a new patch on, right? So you switch
right.
it up every 2 weeks. And Liz, just so you know, like we've been discussing, you do have to get a prescription, but Annette gave us the great tip to get a regular meter from, you know, Walmart or HEB, and you can get a very inexpensive meter where you prick your finger, show your doctor if you're having blood sugar issues, and then discuss with your doctor about getting a prescription for this continuous one, because it can be handy not to prick your finger several times a day.
If your insurance doesn't cover the Libre, but your doctor will write you the script, you put it on, you wear it for 14 days, and you see, that's when you eat all those foods. That's when I ate all the blueberries. That's when I, you know, even though I was angry, I made myself sit still because I wanted to see what it did to my blood sugar. And then I got angry again, and I walked to see the difference. But I wore it for 2 weeks, and then I sat and digested, no pun, the info that I had learned, and then I made some changes in my diet, in my habits. Then I put another one on. So, you know, I might wear one every 4 to 6 weeks. If I could afford to wear them every 2 weeks, I probably would, but I can't. So I spread them out, and, you know, like I said, I change habits, I change foods, I tweak things, and then I wear it again, and I can see what worked and what didn't work. So it's also useful that way if you can't get it for all the time. And if you're wearing them and you walk into the wall and it falls off, or it just falls off on its own, you need to call Abbott and they'll replace it.
Perfect, perfect. Rose commented that Dr. Beery recommends the 10-day, but that they've done away with that, right? They discontinued the 10-day Libre.
Yeah. They're coming out. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I understand when I wear it, it's not perfect numbers. My daughter wears a Dexcom continuous glucose monitor, which is better than the Libre, especially for type 1. And it's more accurate, but it's even still wrong at times. So on the Libre, because I'm not medicating from it, I'm watching trends. And I understand that, you know, my actual number is going to be a little higher, a little lower. But it's excellent for my purposes.
Yeah, I love that. And that's great. Again, going back to using this as a tool to get in touch and tune with our bodies. And then, like you said, you don't have to depend on it forever. It can just give you the data you need to make good choices. So I like the fact that you just really only need to use it intermittently to check. That's great. Liz commented that she had diabetes from prednisone. She got rid of it, but she'd like to monitor. Yeah, diabetes from is so a side effect of medications. It sounds like
it's steroids. It's actually identified as steroid-induced diabetes. It's a recognized form of diabetes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, Liz, we really I hope you know this information is useful to you, and you can go and pick up a meter. I know I got mine for like under $10 at Walmart, and then you have to get test strips as well. And you get your needle. Sometimes you get all the components you need, and it'll end up being around, I don't know, $30-$40, but it's well worth it. The information's invaluable.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, absolutely. I think that's all for our comments and our questions from our listeners today. So, Rose popped one more in, so you need the Libre and a reader.
Yes, you get the sensor is that white circle that you'll see on people's arms. And you either need the reader or, depending on your phone, how current it is, they do have an app. Like, I don't use my reader anymore because I put the app on my iPhone. So now, instead of scanning with the reader, I actually will scan with my phone. I open up the app and scan with my phone. Another thing with the Libre, which that just reminded me of, it will only hold data for 8 hours. So you have to be scanning it with at least, you know, within that 8 hour window. So like if you sleep for 9 hours at night, when you first scan your phone, you're going to totally miss what happened that first hour. I learned that this summer too at the conference.
Awesome. Awesome. That's great. Yeah. You can just use your phone. How easy is that? And yeah. Get a reading. And then once you scan it with your phone, does the app store the data for you? So you have your historical data?
It will store it for a period of time. Yeah.
Cool. Cool. Awesome. Okay. Well, that'll do it for today. Thank you so much, Annette, for being here. Thank you all for your participation. I'm going to go ahead and unmute everybody on the count of three so you can say goodbye. Your microphone will open, and then we'll end the call. So 1, 2, 3. Everybody can talk.
Thank you. Y'all have a good day.
Bye, everyone.